This is Home and Yours on Money FM 89.3, your property and consumer affairs segment. Basically, any time you need to fork money out, we're there to see how it works best for you. And speaking of forking out money, when making investment decisions, we've always been advised to leave the emotions out of it, be logical, but there are perhaps invisible forces affecting even our logical minds as we make these seemingly unemotional decisions. Think about how being scared by something when you were young affects how you are at adulthood. So Christine Wong is a psychotherapist and the Asian lead for psychotraumatology works, and she feels our current investment decisions are significantly impacted by our experiences as a child. Perhaps not as simple as having our pocket money stolen and hence becoming risk averse, but I'm sure something along those lines. Christine's going to explain it to us. Thanks so much for joining us today, Christine.
Hi, how are you? Good morning.
Yes, so explain psychotraumatology work.
Yeah, I know it's a big mouthful.
Psychotraumatology work.
Yes. Basically, psycho meaning it is a psychological base, and of course, traumatology is based on trauma work. So the word trauma, many people look at it as something very serious, but actually it can simply mean, you know, when a child is totally stressed. So it can even start as early as womb time. Yeah, yes, and then...
Before cognizance even.
I beg your pardon?
Before cognizance.
Oh,
before,
yes.
You know,
yes,
being aware of your own surroundings and yourself.
You are totally unconscious about it. So, especially maybe even as early as womb time, when the mother is stressed, and then all the stress chemicals the baby absorbs. Yeah, and so the body remembers, you know, all these are emotional, you know, physiological state. Yeah, so sometimes you can see that, you know, the stress we carry along with us as we grow up from childhood all the way to even adulthood. Yeah.
Mm. Before we go too deep into that, let's first talk about what an investor might be affected by as they're sitting there in front of their computer, maybe figuring out what they would like to buy or invest in, what's going through their heads or could as a result of childhood traumas.
Yeah. Yeah, of course, very often, you know, many people say that emotions ought to be kept out.
Yeah.
But somehow, you know, you still have to feel good or bad about making an investment decision.
Some of it feels quite normal, though. I mean, there are some of us who are risk-averse, there are some of us who are not, who like the adrenaline and want to be in the game where it's high returns for high risk and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So that seems quite normal, no?
Yeah.
But it stems from somewhere, is what you're saying.
Yeah, because I have actually coached and supported many investors, and most of them, you know, they, especially those who has lost a huge sum of money, somehow they can't control, or they cannot figure out how come, you know, they make certain decisions or they get to exit at certain points or exit too early. So there's a lot of fear factor and a lot of either you feel good about it or you feel safe or you feel, you know, feeling insecure. So all these emotions actually come from where? Yeah. So very, very often, if we get to first understand possibly, maybe, you know, take a look at our childhood. What is the emotions around money, for example? Yeah, I give an example. Like, I have a client who is, you know, who has, who is very, you know, who's a huge risk taker. And then he realized that, as we talk a little bit more, and then he realized that when he was a child, the family financial situation is really poor, and there's a lot of stress, surrounding the topic of money. So he put upon himself the stress. Yeah, he saw his mother's stress. And then after that, when he himself is an investor, when he's an adult person, and then, you know, his wife is also stressed. Yeah, so somehow there could be a repeat of emotional patterns surrounding the topic of money from family dynamics all the way to, you know, adulthood, actually. Yeah.
But it also depends on the individual person, how they react to certain types of circumstances. I'll give you an example. Mm. In my family, for example, my dad's business didn't do so well.
Yeah.
Growing up, we started getting part-time jobs pretty early, my siblings and myself.
Mm.
I let the money go very quickly. It's as if my mom always says to me, the money's not going to bite you, you know. You can keep it in your pocket for a wee bit instead of just buying stuff.
Yeah.
My brother, on the other hand, is a hoarder of money.
Mm.
He does not want to spend on anything. He'll get the shoes to wear out and have huge holes in his shorts or whatever, and won't want to buy things. Very, very frugal.
Yes,
so the
yes.
two extremes we have gone to, despite coming from the same circumstance.
Yeah, but both are different forms of compensation, actually. If we talk about psychologically, like, for example, for example, for myself, I come from a poor family. And then, you know, the pocket money is, you know, really very little. So when I start to do my own business at a very early age, I also start to spend a lot. Because I feel that, you know, I haven't really been spending and haven't, you know, got
never
the
money. Never had it. Yes.
And then, yeah, so it's just different attitudes towards it. Some can be the other, it can be two polarities, extremes, even from the same family. Yeah, so it really depends on how we are driving ourselves. Yeah, like for example, most people spend, and when it comes to, say for example, shopping, yeah, so they spend a lot on shopping. It's a feel-good feeling, it makes you feel good, yeah. So there's a lot of emotions that is involved when even when it comes to the money market or even buying houses. The same thing, you know, you have to feel good about it, or you don't feel good about it, or you know when you exit. This is also, you know, there's a lot of fear. Sometimes I have clients who when they see some bad news and then they quickly exit. It could be exiting too early. Yeah, even though, you know, there's a lot of factors involved.
So you're saying that these bad experiences will create different identities within us.
Yes,
that
correct,
also makes people feel a lot uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't mean split personalities, right? Maybe you can explain it.
Actually, we're all pretty split on the inside. The trauma study that I'm studying in is based on identity focus. So, like, for example, if you were to see your father struggling with business when you're very small, so then you may have a thought that, oh, okay, doing business is really very challenging, for example. Then that you carry along the fear with you, yeah. And somehow, sometimes we could be repeating the same patterns when we are doing our own business, yeah. So so it depends on which identity have you taken on. For example, if the father is very stressed, I have clients who repeat same stress patterns of business, yeah, business results, and it seems like they are very identified with the father's stress when they were small. They saw them doing business and they identified with that. Or, for example, if they are very risk averse and they saw their mom, you know, who is totally not for investing, and you know, and then the father is totally for investing. So then it depends who you are identified with, and you know, we wouldn't know which identity would you happen to actually stand on when it comes to making investment decisions.
Yeah. Obviously, for the more addictive personality, the ones who are addicted to risk, let's say the high risk, and then obviously that means that there's a higher risk of you losing all your money, so to speak.
Yeah.
How necessary is it, though, to figure this out?
Yeah.
What happened in your past can affect what kinds of decisions you make today? Because if it's not a case of where there is a risk of losing all your money, some people just don't care, maybe.
Yeah. It really depends on what relationship you build with money. I mean, money on its own, there is no emotional
power
to it,
or something.
Yeah, we give a lot of power, or we give a lot of we give money an emotion, actually. So it all stems from our childhood. How is the perception, or how is the family looking at money? Are we stressed over money, or is there more than enough money when you're small? So all these has a huge impact. I'll give you an example. I have a client when he was young. His father used to gamble. Yeah. And somehow there is a huge risk taking there, huge risk, and it really affects the family, lose a lot of money. So, of course, when he grew up, he told himself that he will never be like his father. Yeah, we often do that. We say, okay, when we grow up, we're going to do things differently, different from our parents. But the strange thing is, the more we say that, somehow we
become exactly,
yeah, become
like,
exactly
them.
Like them.
Mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So then this is where the identity theory comes in to explain to us how we become identified with certain parental figure, yeah. And unconsciously actually start to repeat the same cycle that they go through. This is really what the whole identity theory is about.
Unless it's starting to impinge on your life, that might not always be a bad thing if you identify with a particular parent and take on some of their characteristics.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially if they're good characteristics,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I mean, of course, we somehow could be unconscious of how it may be affecting us, for example. When I talk to some of my clients and I see when they talk about this, they sound very stressed. So when I ask them, do you realize that you sound very stressed when it comes to, they say, oh, really? So most of them, because of the fact that they grow up in a very stressful family environment, they have no idea that, you know, what is not being stressed like. What is it like when it's not being stressed? So they have been so used to the stress. And stress really, you know, it affects the whole physiological, psychological state, yeah. And of course, at the end of the day, if money is the easiest tool that we use, you know, because if we talk about trauma, somehow when a child experiences this stress, when they grow up, they have to find a way to escape, you know, from the childhood reality of that particular moment. For example, maybe when they see their parents fight over money, or when they see their parents, feeling sad, feeling very, very emotional over a business failure. Yeah, so to a child, it's very dangerous because the parent's emotional and psychological state is the child's very safety, the whole safety of their world. And if their parents are feeling stressed and emotional, the child has to shut down, yeah, and
sort of buffer and protect themselves.
Yes, yeah. Yes. But in that instance, they have to kind of split and form another identity where, you know, everything is A-okay. But this part that really realized the huge stress and really felt the unsafe environment then will be suppressed.
Right.
Yeah. Then you wouldn't know when you grow up when this identity, you know, will actually show up and start to take over, feeling the same fear at the point of time when you're a child.
And the least opportune moment, I'm sure, as well. When
yeah,
you least
of course.
Wanted to pop
yeah, that
up,
it gets
right?
triggered. Yeah.
Okay.
So very often I told my clients, I said that if you have emotions like fear or fear of losing or maybe wanting a lot more, for example, that drives you, actually this is very, very childhood state. You're unconsciously trading or investing now as an adult person,
but you've
from
regressed
a childhood
into
state.
A childhood
yes,
mentality.
Yes,
so
that's
to
right.
Speak.
The identity starts to show up. Yeah. So, yeah, in certain sense, split. Yeah,
yeah,
we're all very split. We all, you know, sometimes we realize
just
that
the terminology may
yes.
concern
psychologically,
some people.
Maybe yeah. we'll call it like internally pretty fragmented.
Okay.
So sometimes you want to make certain decisions. Sometimes you don't want. Is it yes or no? You know. So throughout every area of our life, we sometimes somehow feel split. So it can be maybe over work, a career, split over that, split over a business partner, split over a life partner. Split. You know. So it is obvious. But it's just a matter of how much is it really affecting our lives. And if it is, then you could be curious. Yeah, if you have found many other methods and you still couldn't find the answer, you may want to just be curious to find out a little bit more of, you know, what could have contributed to your situation now from childhood. Yeah.
How necessary is it to sort of find that out? Unless it's seriously, as I mentioned earlier, impinging on your life.
Yeah.
Where other people's lives are maybe...
Yeah, actually, to a certain extent, very often my clients come see me, you know, when they're really desperate. You know, then you realize
already
that...
Already in dire straits kind
yes,
of situation.
Yes, and then...
Because there is also the adage, you can't know where you're going unless you know where you've been. So you can't grow as a person if you don't know who you are to begin with.
Yeah, yeah. And then it depends on possibly maybe the people around you. Yeah, sometimes we could be in very huge denial state, not wanting to look at the truth, for example. And I have some clients really, they get sucked into, you know, a really huge vicious cycle of, some call it gambling, but to that person, he just basically wants to succeed. Or he has this illusion that, you know, the more I put in and the more I'm going to make and then the more will be lost. So it is really a battle between what's real and what's not real, yeah, what's going on in the mind, yeah. So it's a little bit the gray there, yeah. So it's up to you to just maybe be curious, yeah,
be
curious about it.
For those who don't want to get to those dire straits type situations mm-hmm. where a family member says, you don't need to get some help, this addictive mm-hmm. behavior is crazy,
mm-hmm.
perhaps the people with the more curious want to go on a journey of self-awareness, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of yardsticks can they look out for,
yeah.
which then tells them, you know what, your decision-making is no longer yours. It is being governed by past experiences, by trauma from a childhood, etc.
Yeah, I guess the person should at least first be aware of how conflicted they are when it comes to making certain decisions. Yeah, if they, you know, some people, their minds are so busy, and before they make a certain decision, they have got so much thoughts. And yeah, so I think somehow every individual would be really aware. And of course, if you are really totally not aware, and maybe possibly the people around you may say something like, you know, if you are, I think you are a bit stressed, or, you know, you are losing a bit too much money. And yeah, sometimes it really goes beyond just money management and strategy. I mean, if you apply everything else and you still fail, just possibly explore a little bit and be curious to find out a little bit more about what could have happened. And yeah, because when you talk about addictive, we must first understand that to be in an addictive state, actually it's really the brain needing the adrenaline rush, you know. So when you take risk, there's a lot of rush. Yeah, there's a lot of cortisol, so stress chemicals that's being produced. So it is, and what happens, why is it that the brain is not naturally producing it? Because it is affected as a child. The brain, neurologically speaking, when you come from a family of stress background, parents always quarrel, there's always money issues, to a child, their brain's affected. Neurologically, it is affected. Yeah. So when
constant release of cortisol, maybe.
No, there is no healthy release. Yeah. So then you need that release. You need an external stimulation to release it. So therefore, it is. It can be anything. I mean, money-wise, it can be people addicted to money, but it can also be addicted to substance like smoking, drinking, drugs. You know, or it can even be pornography and, you know, all this. Even spending money. Yeah. Or addicted to work, for that matter. Yeah, I
anything
have an
that helps you forget, I suppose.
Yeah, that helps you to be distracted. Yeah, from the pain, actually, from the truth of a very small, very primal childhood experience. So the adult state somehow didn't get to realize that we are adults now, and we are still reacting the same way like a child. Like when we are stressed, we have to escape. So the internal fragmentation happens. Yeah.
Here's the thing, though. Step one could be self-awareness. Mm-hmm. It is step two, I think, that is more difficult. What do you do about it? It's like data management.
Yeah.
If you have all this data but you don't have analysis, what are you going to do with the data? And then there's step three, how to help yourself.
I guess first, for a start, get yourself educated. I have a Facebook page where also a website where you can actually come and find out a little bit more. And then when you read some of the articles, you can be a little bit more self-aware. And of course, the next step would be to really allow, possibly just be curious, to allow yourself to be supported, and come and have a chat.
But there's always still the stigma surrounding mental health, I suppose. And people are afraid of, I'm going to see a psychotherapist.
But you know, it's quite a taboo here in Singapore, in Asia, I feel. But in, you know, when I study quite a bit in Europe, and I realize they are so much more open, and you know, it's strange if you don't have a psychotherapist there. If you don't have your own therapies,
you don't look into your mental wellness.
Yes, precisely. So over here, I guess it's just a stigma that people have. That, then you have a problem. Yeah, you have a problem, and you know, you need help. Yeah, but what's wrong with that? Everyone somehow at any point of their life needs some form of support.
Something to think about. Christine Wong, psychotherapist and Asian lead for psychotraumatology works. She feels our current investment decisions are impacted by our experiences as a child. So give a think about how you maybe had dropped too much money into cryptocurrency. What was the impetus there? Dun, dun, dun. Thank you, Christine, for joining us today.
Thank you.